Today on Rockin' the Suburbs. Patrick, that's your line. Patrick?
Oh, sorry I'm late, Jim. I was just out having a beer with some friends and I lost track of time.
Well, let me tell you something, Patrick, and don't you forget it.
Okay, what is it?
Don't come to the basement a-drinking with podcasting on your mind. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
This is good, man.
All right, so we're out of whiskey, guys. We're out of whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Boo.
But we have beer.
Yay!
Okay, there we go. All right. Okay, so it's day four of, I guess what now we'll call drinking week. And we've done three artist whiskeys this week. And now we're going to get into drinking songs. Because from time to time, Patrick,
yes,
we've discussed drinking songs.
And then
we have gotten listener correspondence about good drinking songs.
Yep.
And so on this particular episode, while we have the gang here, we're gonna address some listener correspondence, some suggestions from listeners on good drinking songs.
Great.
And then we'll discuss those. Does that sound good, guys?
Sounds good.
Sure.
All right. The show is called Rockin' the Suburbs, and we are in my basement here in Northern Virginia, and I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us, we have three guests. We have...
I'm Mike Snyder.
I'm Bud Verge.
I'm Rob Gates.
And then also, we have a couple of folks over here. We have Julie. We have Terry.
Mm-hmm.
We had... Sheila,
they're doing Instagram on the dog, so yeah. The dog's happy.
Can we rename the show "Drinking the Suburbs"? For
Drinking
this
the Suburbs is good. We had Sheila, we had Katie, and we also have Shadow. And Shadow has a big bone
that's
going right now.
And Shadow's adorable.
And that is Shadow's form of alcohol is the big bone.
That's right.
All right. So drinking songs. Let's hear from one of our listeners who left a call on the 1984 line.
Great.
Hey guys, Ken Wadsworth here from Shelbyville, Kentucky, and just got done listening to your Drinking Songs podcast. Couple of my favorites, I Got Loaded from Los Lobos. I think it's a cover of somebody else's, or maybe a Six Pack from Black Flag, or Here Comes a Regular by The Replacements. So, love your show, guys. Take care.
All right, it was a very short call.
Well, I appreciate that, too, Jim, and I want to say to everyone, when you call the Suburban Party Line, you don't necessarily have to have a whole entire speech planned out. You can call and just say that, you know? Just call and let us hear your voice and, you know, spend 30 seconds and tell us you've been thinking about a song. That's all that matters, right, Jim? You don't
That's
have
great.
To have a whole speech planned out. So doesn't matter,
you.
Man.
Thank you, Ken.
Yeah.
And what is that number?
That is
614-792-1984.
You have that completely wrong.
Okay.
But people call that number. You know, 867.
617 now? Is it a Boston area?
867-5309,
yeah.
Right?
867-5309.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Los Lobos.
I can relate to that song. I didn't have a bottle of whiskey, but I had three good shots of whiskey.
Yeah.
Earlier in the week.
And, you know, to talk about something we had discussed recently on this podcast, Jim, 1984, this record came out, which is another amazing thing about that
year. I think that'll be coming up on this podcast, but nevertheless,
just
you're
a little
right.
foreshadowing.
This was another album I bought in real time in 1984.
Same here,
And it's an incredible record. Los Lobos, How Will the Wolf Survive?
Yeah, absolutely. A fantastic record cover, if you guys remember it, with the wolf. You know, and the blue coloring on Slash Records. So it's really another flowering of the underground and a great song. There's some history behind this, Mike.
So what's interesting, I hadn't done the history on this song previously because I just love this version. But since we're talking about today while we're listening, I looked up. This is actually a song from 1951 by an artist named Peppermint Harris. Don't know who Peppermint Harris is. If I hit the button, I'll lose the info I have in front of me. But so that song was the number one song on the R&B chart. I didn't know they had an R&B chart in 1951, but they did.
Yeah.
So anyway, and then also Robert Cray covered this song at some point. I did not know that.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I mean, I love that album. I mean, this isn't the song is my favorite. I pretty much figure How the Wolf Survive has always been my favorite song on there. Don't Worry Baby is a great song too. So, but this is a great drinking song though.
Totally is a great swinging tune from this band that showed they could, you know, cover it. And to me, you know, it also shows the influence of the Blasters, who were a band around L.A. at that time with Los Lobos, and they were always covering like these old R&B chestnuts and digging them up. So,
well, and Steve Berlin, who played sax with Los Lobos, wasn't he with the Blasters before? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So they were all sharing information.
Yeah. Also, this song was in Bull Durham. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
I
like
do.
When they had the, was it the forced rainout scene where they were like, oh.
I think it was. Yes. Bull Durham.
Bud's a baseball guy, right?
Yes, that was the Bull Durham song, yes.
Yeah.
Well, this song, I heard a lot of Texas swing in that, and I'm going back to the, you know, the country music thing on PBS over the last couple of weeks. Yep. And this, you know, this is what, in the dance halls, they had booze. Maybe you got in a couple of fights, but this was a kind of song that was, you know, played in the, you know, Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys sound in the late 50s, the early 60s, before country really kind of, you know, diverged into a different lay. And this is kind of like their homage to that.
Totally great reference, Bud. And you had to play it loud and strong then, and you didn't have a lot of electric amplification, so you had to get over the noise of the crowd and the bar and the bartender and all the glasses.
You were dancing a little bit, you were drinking a little bit, maybe you were fighting a little bit.
And that's
at the end of the night, everybody went home friends, yes.
That's right, yeah.
All right. This was the next song Ken suggested.
I got a six pack, and I don't need you.
You guys are joking because it sounds like TV Party, but it does sound like TV Party.
All our songs sounded the same.
It's a classic from Damage, Jim, and it's a great drinking song. And I'll tell you this, all listeners to our show should go way back in the time machine to episode 29 because we did play this on that episode. Where
I don't even remember that.
The songs to listen
all
to
my, all my
while
brain
brewing
cells
and drinking
are dead.
It was a really great episode, February 16th, 2017.
What?
Yes, that far back. The second appearance from Mike Snyder.
Were we in black and white back then?
You only broadcasted from 6 a.m. to midnight.
Yeah, that's right.
I think we went off the air at the test pattern came on at midnight. But yes.
I have a feeling February 16th was a Friday. That's why we don't remember any of that.
But I note there's three hyperlinks here from Mike Snyder, who appeared on that episode, and he's here tonight, and also Mr. Jasper Colt. So wherever Jasper is, we love him very much. So that was a good episode. But what can you say about Damaged and Six Pack by Black Flag? It's really one of the classic tunes of all time. I got $35 and a six pack to my name.
I think 35? In 1981, I was drinking beer in the woods and the golf course behind my house with a whole bunch of other malcontent teenagers. So that pretty much summed up 1981 for me.
Is it wrong that I do that now, or
drink in the woods at the golf course?
Except for the golf course part. Just the woods.
Yeah, I know we're all looking that direction. I don't know. Is it wrong? Let's move on to the next song.
That's a good idea.
It all. The summer's past, it's too late to cut the grass. There ain't much to break anyway in the fall. And sometimes I just ain't in the mood to take my place and back for loud mouths. Like a picture on the fridge, it's never stocked with food. I used to live at home, now I stay at the house. And everybody wants to be special here. They call your name out loud and clear. Here come
All right, we know that song.
Yeah.
Here Comes a Regular.
Heard of it?
That's a sad drinking song. Not necessarily, you know, championing the idea of drinking.
A bit of a loser anthem.
Yes. Am I the only one here today?
Right.
Turn your back on a pay you back, last call.
Yeah. Mm.
Such a sad song.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. Now, I will like to say this. I think it is... Are they talking about this?
The gallery likes it a lot. Okay. Yeah. It's a great song. No doubt.
It really is.
It's like one of the top three replacement songs.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Yeah.
Yeah.
It captures a feeling of people that are just hanging out in bar and hat, don't really have a life right now.
Right.
And you the good thing is when you listen to that song, you're like, well, I'm not that bad.
That's
kind of at 1985. I definitely wasn't that bad, but I could relate to what they were singing.
I'll look over here at my lovely wife, Katie, and I'll say, do you remember there was a bar in Louisville where we used to live called Freddy's? Yeah. Do you remember Freddy's that was downtown? And Rob knows this, too.
Oh, yeah.
This song reminds me of Freddy's because there was the kind of place that people would just, like, older gentlemen would just sort of hang out.
And copy editors.
Yeah. And that was sort of their life, right? That was it. That was what they did, right? Was just hang out in the bar.
So I think it's important to note that Last Call in Louisville is 4:30.
Ooh, yeah. Brutal.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I learned that.
So what listeners may not know is Jim and I used to work together in Louisville way back when. We used to work on the night shift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'd get off the night shift at 1, 2 in the morning, and we'd wander down the road to Freddy's.
Freddy's, yeah.
And Katie, too.
Katie, too, yeah. She was, yeah, she worked as a restaurant server, so she could do that too. And yeah, before we had kids and all that, yeah.
Well, yeah.
The funny thing too is, Rob, when I moved to Louisville from Rockford, Illinois, Rockford had the 2 a.m. closing time, right? And so I took a job on the copy desk in Louisville, which was like the shift ended at like 1 or something like that, right?
1 or 2. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking, well, there goes any chance I have of any kind of like nights out, it's over, right?
Right.
Like, yeah. I work at night now, right?
Yeah.
And then I moved to Louisville, and I come to find that the bars close at 4 o'clock. This was a glorious discovery.
Yes. Yes, it was, for those of us that worked.
Because you could still go out,
desk.
And you didn't have to be to work the next day until like 4 p.m. Unbelievable. Right.
What's 12 hours?
That's right. Yeah. So that was great. All right.
And I think the three songs that we heard were all different personalities of drinking songs.
That's right.
One of them is like a happy, I'm dancing, yay, I'm having a good time, maybe I'll find a girl, maybe I'll get a fight. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The second one was like, yeah, I'm aggro, drunk, let's go, like TV party tonight, let's get punk and like bump into each other. And the third is like, what am I doing here at 4:30 in the morning drinking, you know, Bob Dylan whiskey and feeling sorry for myself. There's got to be a better way.
I don't think this dude could afford Bob Dylan whiskey.
And but those are the kind of three
drinking,
personality songs of drinking songs.
Bar, whatever the bar gives you.
And I will say this. If you guys are tuning in for the drinking, you should go back and read our article, Every Original Replacement Songs Ranked.
Yes.
Jim, we did this,
yes,
right?
Yes, we did.
And Here Comes the Regular came in at number... Eight.
Okay.
Eight. Wow. And so Will Pfeiffer, your friend Will, wrote this, regret has never sounded so well, sadly beautiful. A guy who's wasted his life looks back, sighs wistfully, and orders another drink.
Yeah.
This is his opening sentence. So it's really beautiful. Go read that article, folks. The number one song, I won't tell you what it is. But
Bastards of Young.
There it is.
Well, Mike will.
But it's
spoiler
great.
Alert.
Yeah, just go to suburbspy.com and
look
it up.
Well, you should go read about it, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. Yeah, it's really good stuff.
All right,
yeah.
Let's do this. We only have a little bit of time here, but I'm going to run through. We got an email from Walt Falconer.
Oh, sweet. Thank you, Walt.
So real quickly, we did the Tiki Bar episode, and Walt talked about Tiki songs. And
he has his own place, the Falcon's Nest.
The Falcon's Nest, right, and all of that. And then we did something on drinking.
Where's that, Patrick?
That's the Falcon's Nest is up in...
we think it's in Texas.
That's right. We think it's in Texas.
He's kind of cagey about
could
it.
Be
but
in,
down in Texas.
Yeah, it could be down in Texas.
Yeah,
or
it could be in, you know, Colombia.
Right.
We don't know.
Right. It could be also in Canada. We're not really sure.
Right. But anyway, we did something recently on drinking songs with the Bourbon and Beyond, and then he said, here are five cool Bourbon Trail... inspired drinking songs is what. So I'm just going to run through these five real quick. We're going to play them and we're going to go through them pretty quickly. All right.
Yeah.
So first off, he says James LeBlanc, five-star dive bar. A five-star dive bar seemed to be a good place to start a bourbon crawl. So we powered up the Chevy and headed to the levee looking for some neon lights. Here's the song.
On a solitary Saturday night, so I fired up the Chevy, headed over the levee, went hunting for some neon lights. Didn't feel like hanging with no upper crust, high class socialites. So now in a corner booth with a shot of 90 proof, just what the doctor ordered tonight. At the 5-star dive bar, beer nuts for caviar, line dancing, playing air guitar. Proceeded to tie one on. Started singing karaoke, Little Loki from Muskogee, and all them other haggard songs. And for a little while, I was nothing but smiles, everybody singing along. It was a crazy little scene, and they crowned me king of the local Yoko honky tonk. Down at the 5-star dive bar, beer nuts for caviar.
5-star dive bar.
Yeah.
There you go.
Right. Sweet. Sounds like modern bro country, man.
That's right.
That's a rockin' tune, though, but it'll get you fired up on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Pick 'em up truck, Red Solo Cup.
Drinking, right?
Yeah,
all right.
Let's go.
All right. Next up is the Cadillac 3, All the Makings of a Saturday Night. This one pretty much says it all as we start climbing the party hill.
All right.
I got cold beer in my cup, a pretty girl hopping out of my truck. Got the cables coming out of the dash, JBL's 12 stack. Conway, Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard, Charlie Daniels, Jim Beam, Black Label, Sip, Sip, Pass, Sad Spot, no one knows, just me and my bros and my special lady friends shaking that ass. We got all the makings of a Saturday night. Got the tall boys tall, just sitting on ice. Winter green, fresh can, baby, got a spray tan, circled up truck, Silverado headlights. We got all the makings of a Saturday night. Sundown, fire burning, just out of town, and no concerning. And turn off a cell phone, smoke a little homegrown Instagram, can't wait till the morning. We got all the makings of a Saturday night. Got the tall boys tall, just a sitting on ice. Winter green, fresh skin, baby, got a spray tan, circled up truck, Silverado headlights. We got all the makings of a Saturday night.
There you go, the Cadillac 3, it does mention Conway, Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard, Charlie Daniels, Jim Beam, Black Label, Sip, Sip, Fast.
There sweet. I think what? That pretty much says it all. That song reminded me a little bit of inhaling a, you know, kind of
glue?
Yeah, or like a roach spray that you shouldn't spray in an enclosed area.
All right. Let's move on to the next one. It's John Lee Hooker, Big Legs, Tight Skirt.
We're oh,
on
sweet.
The third
Thank God.
We're on the third round now. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
That's nine fingers if you're scoring at home. And the buzz is starting to kick in as you check out the clientele at the dive bar.
Drive me out of my mind. Oh, big leg, tight skirt, about to drive me out of my mind. I love me, oh baby, I just can't help myself. When I see you walking, walking down the street. When I see you walking, walking down the street. Your big leg, your tight skirt knocks me off of my feet. Big leg, tight skirt, about to drive me out of my mind. Oh, big leg, tight skirt, about to drive me out of my mind.
You guys like that?
This is a stripped down truth beer drinking boozing song without to me mm-hmm. Without all the polish and glamour of other types of renditions. I mean, this is the real stuff.
Yep, totally.
Yeah,
I mean, John Lee Hooker was one of the most eccentric of the original blues artists, Chicago / Detroit city blues artists, because he played by himself a lot of times. He had eccentric rhythms. He didn't play like Muddy Waters or anybody who had a big band or any of those guys, like, you know, Elvin James or any of those people that were playing in Chicago. Or B.B. King, yeah, another great example. You know, he always played his own style. He was from Detroit. He was a little weirder, but he was in urban, and that's a great song. And everything he's ever done, you know, you really remembered. And recently, not to go off on a tangent, but I was reading I've been reading a book about the Animals, right? You guys remember the Animals?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Castle,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, got to get out of this place. Please, Incredible. Lord, don't let me be misunderstood. Springsteen once gave a speech and said, I wrote Badlands based on the Animals, right? But a huge influence on the Animals was John Lee Hooker, and they actually opened up for him, you know, on a British tour in the early 60s. So I just love that gritty Eric Burdon vocal, you know, like Mike was saying while we're listening to it, just that, you know, he didn't sing it. He kind of shouted it. And like, so that's really great.
So I think Johnny Lee, really this, like the second generation of blues guys.
Yep.
And I always wonder what would like Robert Johnson have sounded like if they had good recording, you know, the better recording machinery.
Right, and technology was a big obstacle to those guys, and they played not only recording, Rob, but also instruments. They didn't have access to electric guitars, really. Right. Yep. Les Paul had not invented those amplifiers or anything, so they were trying to, you know, amplify those country blues songs. But John Lee Hooker was one of the first guys to take advantage of that electric, dirty, down low, you know, hey, let's just be honest and say Jack White owes a lot to, you know.
100%.
Yeah, totally. All right. So
I'm going to move on with Walt's little post here. He says, the next song is Dale Watson, Call Me Lucky. We are in the dive bar sweet spot now. He says, 12 fingers, 4 drinks down the pipe, and we are on warp speed. Tensions are released. Inhibitions are slowly melting away.
One on the right, one on the left. One is a blonde, one's a brunette. If you know my name, I bet that you can guess. They call me Lucky. Now I go through life without a care. I ain't got a plan. I go everywhere without a worry to clutter up my head. They call me Lucky. I can snap a wishbone and get the smaller half. Walk down the street and have a black across my back. Walk under ladders on Friday 13th. Nothing bad will happen to me. I ain't the seventh son of a seventh son. I'm happy in a pistol. I ain't a son of a gun. I know that I ain't smarter than nearly anyone. I'm just lucky.
All right, there we go.
Amazing. Dale Watson is a deep artist. I know some other stuff about him. I know he made a great record about trucking. I'm not exactly sure what it is right now, but I got to say, like we said, Walt has a fantastic gift for narrative. So he's definitely taken us somewhere where we need to be, and I like the way he puts these songs together.
Well, this is such a great bar tune.
Yeah,
I mean, really this is Saturday night. Yeah. In any dive bar,
you can imagine that. That's not coming out of Jim's jukebox, but you can imagine that coming out of a jukebox in the room.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. And you can hear the glasses clinking, mm-hmm. and you smell the smoke, and you smell the dirt, the beers that have been spilled on the floor the last 5 hours that you've been there. Okay, maybe you haven't been there 5 hours, but I have. And so
sawdust.
It definitely fits, you know. Yeah.
I mean, there's a little bit of perfume from some women around, yes.
And some bad whiskey.
Yes.
Totally.
Some Drake whiskey.
Drake whiskey. Who brought that Drake whiskey?
All right. I don't know who brought that.
Is that Drake?
Here's the last song. I'm not going to say what it is. Right now, he says, we have crossed the Cape of Good Hope and are in uncharted territory.
Good sailing reference.
So much so that we have lost track of how many bourbons we have had. Naturally, there is a better time than the present to show off my musical prowess by getting up in front of the crowded bar to tickle the ivories. There are two problems with this, however. First, I don't know how to play the piano. And second, there is no piano in the dive bar. Stay tuned for Sunday morning coming down. That's not what he wants to play, though. He wants to play Tom Waits, The Piano Has Been Drinking. Not me.
Great call.
Piano has been drinking. My nectar is asleep. And the combo went back to New York. The jukebox says to take a leak. And the carpet needs a haircut. And the spotlight looks like a prison break. 'Cause the telephone's out of cigarettes. And the balcony is on the make. And the piano has been drinking. The piano has been drinking. And the menus are all freezing. And the light man's blind in one eye, and he can't see out of the other. And a piano tuner's got a hearing aid and showed up with his mother. And a piano has been drinking.
All right, there you go. Tom Waits.
Beautiful song.
It feels like last call at 4:30 in the morning.
Really, yes, it is definitely last call at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
I think Walt set it up really well, don't you think?
He's a great writer, and yeah, I'm so glad to have Walt as part of our community. It's really nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Walt.
So you saw Tom Waits once.
I did. Yeah, it was really good.
And he was drinking.
I was telling the story. He played at the Warner Theater in the late 80s in D.C. And at the time, you know, the Warner Theater was still considered kind of a classy venue. How I got in, I'm not sure. But you weren't allowed to take alcohol into the theater itself. So you could have it in the kind of the foyer and in the lobby and stuff. But Tom knew that no one could have drinks, so when he came on stage, he had a little white refrigerator, one of those mini fridges back in the 80s. It was early. It was stocked with cold beer, and you know, he pulled him out and said, what do you guys think about this? Crack, and you know, started drinking one, and everyone was literally foaming at the mouth, like cotton mouth was happening, but no beverages were allowed, and that was really cruel by Tom, but then he treated us to a great set, so that was nice. On the Swordfish Trombones tour, I believe.
Yes.
Yep.
But I think Tom Waits is good drinking music, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Think?
I mean, he,
especially
you know,
the whiskey thing that we were talking about,
totally,
right?
As Bud said. And, you know, Tom Waits was a guy that went through two distinct phases in his career. I mean, he had an early sort of bohemian singer-songwriter, L.A., Barfly, Bukowski kind of phase, and then he became more of an avant-garde guy, and then he became sort of a playwright, you know, with his wife, Kathleen Brennan. And
was it the Rain Dogs
that's
tour?
It. Rain Dogs tour. There you go. There all it right. is. Thank you, Jim.
That was a big album.
Yep, really big. So thank you, Walt, very much, man. Appreciate that.
All right, so tomorrow we're going to talk about our own drinking song picks, right?
Uh-huh.
Never been done on this show before.
No, it's an original idea. That's right. Yeah, never been done.
Apparently, it's been done so much. I
can't, just every year or so.
And I can't even remember the song we picked before. Because one of the songs I was going to pick, apparently I had already talked
I
about
already
this drinking
it.
Song.
Yeah,
so yeah,
me too.
So
I was going to pick Six Pack.
I'm going to move on to another song. So we're going to do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right, let's get out of here now.
Please.
It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm Mike Schneider.
I'm Bud Verge.
Rob Gates.
We're going to dismiss all the other stuff. We'll just talk to you guys tomorrow.
1984.
Every day.
Wait a second, in the Phoenix, right? Like University of Phoenix?
The University of Phoenix?
The University of Phoenix.
I play for their basketball team. I just go out in the back and I shoot hoops and I like email in how many points I scored and then...
Just send in the box score, yeah.
I scored 16 points. There you go. Put that in.
12 rebounds? That's another triple-double, bud.
It is. I had a couple steals, too.
Yeah, that's right.
The bad news is my shooting percentage is lower, but my rebounding is up.
Yeah. Somehow you seem to...
100% rebounds.
You made 12 shots, but only took 9. I'm not really sure that happened.